Today, health insurance, are you paying through the nose? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today, I'm joined again by Steve from Canstar. Hi, Steve.
G'day, Martin.
How are you going?
Yeah, I'm terrific, thank you. How are you doing?
Yeah, hanging in there, a lot going on. Now, health insurance, this is one of those, do we really have to talk about it? But it's so important and so complex, and yet my sense is that many people feel that perhaps they're paying, but what are they getting for what they're paying? And others perhaps are paying too much. So let's unpack it a bit, shall we?
Yeah, we've got to. It's an incredibly complex product, and it's very difficult to get to the bottom of it. And sometimes, unfortunately, you don't get to the bottom of private health insurance until you actually come to claim time and then realize, gee, I wasn't covered for that. Or, yes, I was covered, but I didn't get back as much as I expected. So, there's a lot to talk about here.
So let's start with the recent changes, because there are now relatively standard defined levels of mainstream cover, sort of gold, silver, bronze, right?
Yeah, I like this concept. And look, people say, oh, it's oversimplified, it's over this, it's over that. But it's at least a little clearer to people when they're comparing. They can say, look, if I'm going for a gold policy, I can see a whole bunch of other gold policies here. If I'm going for silver, likewise. And then if I want something basic, I can go for bronze or something actually called basic. Now, to go the other way up the cycle, if you take a basic policy, you're being covered for almost nothing. It's virtually a policy there so that you don't have to pay the Medicare levy surcharge. We'll talk about that, I'm sure, later. Silver isn't too bad because you get quite a bit of coverage. Quite a lot of procedures are actually covered in silver. Bronze in between is a step up. Silver is starting to get serious coverage. You get covered for a lot of items usually, so you can rely upon it. But if you want everything, if you feel that you've got potentially health issues that you do want to make sure you have covered, gold is what you go for. And that virtually covers everything that the Medicare schedule covers.
But even on the gold cover, there are certain limits and certain things you have to be a little bit careful about, because it's not necessarily unlimited, is it, in terms of dollar coverage?
It's absolutely not. So I'll talk a little bit about how this all works. When you are treated in a hospital, and this is what I'm talking about at the moment, that's what gold relates to, the hospital cover, not the extras. Yep. When you're treated in the hospital, you go in there and you put into a room and they take care of you. So it's sort of bed, board and care that you're being covered for there. Plus you're being covered for the treatment, and the treatment can be the specialist and the anaesthetist and whatever other peripheral treatment things there are. Now, your cover will cover you for, your gold cover will cover you for the room and board and care, minus the excess. You'll pay the excess, and you've already worked out what that is in advance. You're ready for that. Then there's the doctor. Now, there's a scheduled fee. It's a Medicare scheduled fee, and Medicare pays 75% of the doctors up to that schedule, and your private health insurer pays the other 25%. And that's all good so far, but the AMA recommended fee is higher than the Medicare scheduled fee. So immediately there's a bit more to be spent. And usually the health insurer will pay up to that Medicare schedule, that Medicare recommended fee. The AMA recommended fee. But there's more. Unfortunately, specialists don't adhere to that either, and charge a lot more than that, and very significantly more than that. Now, in some policies, you might be paid for that extra bit. In others, you might not be. And there's a pretty good chance that you will be up for an extra gap. Not always, and in quite a few treatments, there isn't much of an extra gap. But in some treatments, it's very likely that there'll be an extra gap, and you pay for that. You don't know when you buy the policy what that will be, and sometimes you don't even know when you go into the hospital. But you should talk to the doctor's administration people and say, look, what am I likely to be up for? Here's my card. Tell me what my health card. Tell me what I'm likely to be up for. So very complex. You have to expect some level of out-of-pocket expenses, in particular for more complex procedures.
Yeah, and those gaps can vary by the different provider, but they're all called gold.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Gold doesn't tell you what the gap will be. All gold says is that we cover you for all of these procedures, and it's a very comprehensive list. But gold doesn't say that you're going to get 100% back.
Yeah, and I've heard so many stories of people receiving a string of bills after their treatment, you know, when they're home and recuperating, and they get all of these bills, and they keep coming in and more coming in and more coming in. And they thought, well, I thought I was covered. So you often have a battle post the treatment, which we hope is successful, but the financial implications of that can echo down for months.
Oh, it's enough to put you back into hospital. Yeah. The trick is to talk to the doctor's admin people and say, what am I likely to be up for? So go in with eyes wide open. Even then, though, they can't necessarily be sure because there could be some complication that required some extra piece of service. So really, I mean, it depends what you're going. The gap is going to depend upon a few things. One is which health insurer you're with. Two is which doctor you go to. Three is what happened with the procedure. Was it something unexpected? And four is who are you? You know, sometimes you might come in there, Martin, and be offered $200 for a procedure. I might go and be charged $400 for the same procedure. So there are lots and lots of variables, and the specialists aren't prepared in a lot of cases to be regulated. In other cases, they are, though. They make deals with health funds to say, this is what I will charge for this procedure. So it's not across the board that there's a problem.
Right. So just continuing to talk about hospital cover first. Therefore, if you're going to make comparisons between the different providers, right, I guess the first thing is to try and decide what level of current cover you want, from basic up through to gold, right? And then you delve into the different providers under those particular schemes. But then you have to look at things like what are their breakpoints, what are their levels of cover, and all those things, and how much, because they will even assume different amounts for example, hospital cover in different policies. So it is really hugely complicated to try and make apples and apples comparison, isn't it?
Yeah, it's incredibly difficult. I mean, the gold, silver, bronze is a good start because at least it says, look, you can compare like policies here that cover you for these like procedures. But it doesn't go down that next step. Now, we use the stats that, is this APRA stats or the Ombudsman? Anyway, there are quarterly stats that come out showing the gap. And we use that in our ratings, even though it's a fund level rather than a policy level, because it can vary by policies. But anyway, we use that. Plus, we use a whole lot of other kind of measures to say, well, are you getting the value back out of it when we rate it? But it's very difficult exercise for consumers to do to actually understand what they're even looking for. Mm. You know, there's a lot of trust in this, and you just sometimes feel you've got to hope for the best, or you go somewhere where the analysis has been done.
Yeah, and I guess the other point is there, of course, there are annual or thereabout increases in the fees, right, which go up, you know. That's sort of regulated, isn't it? But and recently their fees have been a little lower. Yeah.
They need the approval of the health minister, so the health department effectively, to price increases, premium increases. And they every year go to this exercise of putting up for all of their policies the premium they want to charge, and they get approval for it. Now, over the last, I've been looking at this product range now for 12 years, and over that period, almost all the time, it's come in at about 6% increase on average. Now, this last year, that changed because they did actually get to the point of fixing up certain, prosthetics, but I won't go to that. But they fixed up certain things, and the minister said, well, no, you can have 3%. Now, fortunately, the health funds this time around said, look, with COVID here, we won't actually pass on this increase until halfway through the year. But nevertheless, you can expect an increase well above the inflation rate. And that's because, you know, medical costs are going up faster than the inflation rate. That's one of the reasons.
That's one of the reasons why, in fact, more people are actually opting out. So they actually had cover and they're walking away from it because, of course, they're under financial pressure. And in a way, that might be the worst time to lose medical cover.
Yeah, we've got a public-private health system here in Australia, and the public system is an excellent system. There's nothing wrong with the public system. If you need treatment in Australia, you will get treatment. It's not like the US where people are turned away from hospitals. The issues, though, occur where you need a treatment that's considered to be elective. So you've blown up your knee and you need a full reconstruction. That's elective, which means you might not get it done for quite a while through the public system. The private system is a way of jumping the queue to get it done faster. You might want to have your own doctor. Let's say you have some sort of chronic issue. You might want to have the same doctor over a long period of time. The private system caters for that. You might want the same doctor to take you all the way through the obstetrics, the childbirth process. Well, you probably won't, Martin. People tend to want that continuity in occasions like that. So the private system does all of that stuff. So, you know, the private-public is a pretty good mix.
Well, my observation was that in my surveys, I'm seeing more people are basically giving up on health insurance simply because they can't afford it anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I get it because affordability is a big issue in this industry. You know, the cheapest policy I could find for hospital cover is $69 a month. Now, that's not a trivial bill. That's you know, that's a big bill. That's enough. Well, it's $800 and something dollars a year. Now, that's a big bill. And if you don't think you're getting value, then you've got to consider it. And that's, I think, the issue. Some stats came out last week or the week before that said there's been a fall in membership, and this isn't falling over a cliff suddenly. It's just one of those gradual slides and slides that doesn't look like stopping, which is the worry. And but in behind the data, there's a more interesting thing happening, and that is that the numbers of people covered in the 25-29-year-old group have fallen by just under 5%, but the number in the 70 to 74-year-old group have gone up by 3 or 4%. So the average is actually disguising the real problem, because the real problem is that it's the older group that claim and the younger group that aren't claiming but are paying a premium, who have been subsidising the older group. And that's the real problem that the industry has. And, it, of course, it's the younger group that are saying we're not getting value, and that's why they're dropping out.
Mm. And, of course, that is why the insurers have started offering additional cover, you know, optional extras to try and attract younger people, so sports-related injuries and those sorts of things and other things. So this optional extras area is another muddy area, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Extras, they're great for the fun because they're extracting a higher premium. Mm. They're also giving away a service that's more likely to be claimed on by the younger cohort. So it works for both. The reason they're doing it, of course, is that anyone earning over $90,000 effectively must have private health insurance, or they pay the Medicare levy surcharge of 1%. So, you know, if you're on $95,000, it's $950 you can spend on your insurance, and you won't get much for that. But nevertheless, now what the insurers say is, look, tack on some extras so that at least you get some value for money. So you'll get cover for the big four are dental, optical, physio, chiro, and they represent over 80% of claims. But there's a whole string of other things that you can claim for. Now, they say, the insurers say, look, buy this cover because at least you'll get some value out of your relationship with us. And that might make sense, provided you are actually using enough of that insurance to get value from it. With health insurance, you're sort of insuring for, with hospital cover, you're insuring for like the big event that might have a huge bill and really does affect your health badly. With extras, you're more covering for, well, you know, I might need to have a tooth capped, or I want to go and have a annual consultation or I need a pair of specs or something. So they're more known and expected expenses, but not generally as big. But at least it can be. You're more likely to make a claim on that than you are when you're 25, than you are on hospitalisation.
And of course, the question is for younger people, is that trade-off of the extra premiums that you're paying year after year after year relative to the services you get worth it? Or are you still effectively paying a lot more than you might otherwise? And that's a very complicated calculation to try and do.
Well, it is. The way you approach that is that you look at the past and say, look, over the last couple of years, what have I actually got back out of this? And what am I paying in premium? Now, if you're paying close in premium to what you're getting back, well, that's probably a good thing. Even if you're paying a little more in premium, still probably a good thing because you never know when you might be kicked in the tooth by a dog. So at least it covers you for the unknown as well as the known. But if you find that you're only claiming, 5% of what you're paying away, well, either say, I should be claiming more, or say, well, okay, I need to look at my cover. Maybe I've got the wrong cover for my stage in life. If you have a young family the kids, you've got a couple of kids in secondary school who need braces, the orthodontic costs are huge and your cover is probably something that helps a lot. But then once the kids are up to their 20s and you're not paying that, maybe you don't need quite that level of cover. So you've got to think about your own situation before you really start looking at the policy and say, what do I really think I need to be covered for? Is it the Rolls Royce of cover, or is it something that's a little bit cut down and maybe just make sure I get covered for the likely things I'll be claiming?
Mm. And again, with extras, how easy is it to compare one provider with another provider?
Diabolically difficult. And I know that because we have a calculation that we do in our ratings that has 100 and something million lines of data to come up with an answer. The problem with it is that there are item limits. So that's I've got a filling, it's going to cost this much, and I'll get this much back from the insurer. But then there are subcategory limits that might be straightforward dental. And then there are category limits that could be totally dental and or it could be dental plus physio or something. And then there are overall limits. And you find that, one might have a great item limit but a lousy category limit or something. So we've done this through many, many scenarios when we compare scenarios of claiming behaviour just to understand how much out of pocket will people be at the end of the day with this policy compared to this policy over here. So it's diabolically difficult. It's not so difficult to see what you're covered for in terms of the treatments, although getting down to item level is sometimes difficult. But the really difficult part is how much will I get back and how much will I actually have to take out of my...
I think it's almost impossible to really calculate it down to the last dollar. You almost got to say, well, I think it's roughly this, and then go and go with it, right? Because otherwise you're going to spend the whole of your life trying to work it out. But it is important, isn't it, from time to time to check what you're paying and what your coverage is and to see whether things have changed and therefore whether it should be adjusted. Because again, I suspect some people just set and forget.
People do. It's like every other finance thing in the world, they set and forget. This one is with extras. It's difficult to get to the bottom of it and to say which product is categorically better for me. But it is easy sometimes to say, well, look, I know how much I've been spending and I know how much I've got back. Now, if the gap is too big on the wrong side of the equation, then it says review your cover. If it's near enough the same, well, that's probably okay because something bad could happen. You might end up with a cap you didn't expect to have. And if it's if you're way ahead of the equation, so you're paying a lot less in premium than you're claiming back, well, happy days.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the last question I have then, Steve, is that some of the providers are essentially for profit and other providers are effectively structured as mutuals. In other words, they aim to provide a service but not really return a profit. Is there a massive difference in premiums between those two different business models?
Not in terms of delivery to the consumer. they're effectively delivering the same way, and both models deliver very good value policies and some policies that aren't as great value. The fact is, though, that one has taken out some profit that it has to pay away to shareholders, and the other model, it's all ploughed back into the business. Now, that would make you think that by necessity, the not-for-profit is a better deal for the consumer, but it's not necessarily, because the for-profits, those that have shareholders, tend to be larger institutions that can deliver economies of scale and other savings. So, you know, both can deliver good quality products, but both also deliver ordinary products, or at least ordinary products for you. And you've got to make sure that you're getting the best of what they have that suits your needs.
Mm. And what about quality of service? And I'm thinking here of online tools and availability, you know, of particular providers, and also call centres and how they operate. Because, again, it seems to me that there are some quite big differences in terms of the customer experience.
Yeah, there are. I think what you find is that the bigger the funds, that they tend to be able to invest more in some of those delivery mechanisms, and some of them are still investing in shop fronts. So you know, whereas the smaller guys don't do much of that, and they can also though invest more in developing their systems, et cetera, et cetera. Most of them though have high caps, where you for your extras, you get you make your claim at the point of treatment, so that kind of negates most of that advantage. And most have a reasonable online claiming system. They vary a fair bit. Some require you to post stuff in. Others, you can do it totally electronically. So it varies. It also varies by the size of the claim, as you'd expect. So they're all moving down a path that hopefully provides better service and better capabilities. They have mobile apps. Some of them come out with reminders about how much cover you've got. You know, you should be using your extras for this, that, or the other. So there is a fair bit of service that has crept into the industry, for an industry that, you know, probably 10 years ago was basically, look, pay your premium and come in with your claim to a branch and we'll sort it out then. But that's all we'll see of you. They're doing a lot better than that now, and actually making recommendations to you to, look, you're probably due for a dental checkup or something. So they've moved ahead a fair way. The service levels have moved ahead. I think what people worry about with this industry is that the premiums have moved ahead, gee, maybe faster, or at least they're hurting the hip pocket a lot more than they were.
So if you were somebody with health insurance, what's the one question that you think they should be asking?
Yeah, I think if you've already got health insurance and you made the decision to take it, I think the question you need to ask is, am I being covered, in particular on the health side of it, the hospital side, am I being covered for the items that I very much feel at risk about? And, you know, if you're a male of my age, you should be saying, well, I need to have cardiac cover because that's still the biggest killer. But am I covered for these other treatments that I believe I might need, whether it be a personal thing through a precondition or a family history. So make sure you cover for those. With extras, it's review just to make sure that I'm not paying a whole lot more in premium than I'm getting back. And then, of course, if you have answered both of those, you then have to look at, what am I paying compared to other like policies? And make sure that you're not paying too much, because they vary massively.
Mm. Yeah, well, it's amazing some of the differences that I see and hear. So, Steve, I really appreciate your time today. I think that's been a really interesting conversation and very important conversation for about roughly one-third, I think, of the population who have private health cover at the moment. So really appreciate your time.
There are something like 11 million customers, members. Yeah. Yeah. So that's a lot. There's an interesting stat here too, Martin, which you might, I probably should have mentioned something here earlier. 13% of the members are aged over 70. And that cohort is actually increasing in number. Now, we've got an aging population, so it's not that surprising. 13% are over 70. They account for 47% of the dollars claimed. And that's the problem that the industry is confronting. And it's a big problem, and there's no obvious and quick answer for it. And taxation and surcharges and rebates are all in the melting pot to try to figure out how we make this work, because currently it's on a trend that says it won't work in a few years' time or 10 years' time.
The demographic shift, of course, is continuing. And, of course, the current economic crisis, where incomes are being compressed and where unemployment is rising, is going to probably create even more pressure, because at the lower end, I suspect more people might decide to withdraw their payments simply because they can't afford it. So once again, I think this is going to be an industry that's going to be in some crisis for the next few years.
It will. I mean, people will be saying at the moment, this is one that I like to have, I want to have, and need to have longer term, but maybe over a few years while we're in this economic situation, while our income's been cut, our job security's been shattered, maybe this is one we cancel for a while. And that further aggravates it. The group that's unlikely to cancel are the over 70s. They're not losing jobs. They're retired. They fear walking away from their existing insurer. The economics of this thing are not improving, and it's quite a dilemma for the industry.
Steve, thank you very much for your time today. Really informative. And, of course, people can find out and get more information and make decisions on different policies by going to Canstar.
Thanks, Martin. Really enjoyed it.
Thanks. Talk again soon. Bye.